In this edition of So Ill, we hear from Dr. Rachel Drayton about the impact of making intentional change to reduce single-use instruments in healthcare, starting with the Speculum Project.
Hello, my name is Alana Goodson. I am a third year at SIU, and we are on the So Ill podcast. And today we have Dr. Drayton with us.
Hello.
Would you like to introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Rachel Drayton. I'm a consultant in sexual health or genitourinary medicine and HIV in Cardiff, which is the capital of Wales in the UK. So I don't think you have genitourinary medicine in the States in the same way we do, but essentially I'm a physician who specializes in STIs, HIV, and everything kind of sexual health related, genital health problems, those sorts of things. And I'm also, I have an interest in sustainability, and I currently have the role of clinical lead for sustainability in my organization, which is the Health Board in Cardiff.
Wow, that is amazing. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the work that you do, specifically related to the sustainability aspect?
Over the last couple of years, I've developed an interest in sustainability and looked at several of the things that we can, and several of the changes that we can make within our own service. And I've also co-founded, we have a national special interest group in our specialty. So we look at sustainability projects that people can do in services like us, like ours. So one of the big projects that we've done is a move away from single-use plastic vaginal speculums to reusable metal ones. So that's one of the bigger changes that we've made in the department over the last few years.
And can you tell me a little bit about how that idea came to light?
I think it's largely, I think we're all aware in our everyday lives that single-use items are generally not good for the planet, and a circular economy, you know, reusing things, recycling things is better. So I wanted to look at the things that we used, and certainly in our service, we use several hundred vaginal speculums every week on examinations we do. So I did a bit of reading and found several published life cycle analyses looking at the environmental impact of single-use plastic speculums versus reusable ones, because lots of questions were being raised about, well, there's the environmental impact of sterilization, so, you know, actually which one is best? But it was quite clear from the life cycle analyses that have been published, both looking at speculums but also other single-use medical instruments, that pretty much across the board, reusable ones have got a lower carbon footprint. So that's something we decided we wanted to try and address. So that's why we went around about the project.
I was wondering if you know off the top of your head any other of those single-use plastic items that we see every day in the clinic.
So there was a really good systematic review published a couple of years ago looking at single-use items and their impact. So there was speculums, obviously. There was instruments used for laparoscopic cholecystectomies. There were laryngoscopes, other PPE, but sharps containers, anesthetic drug trays, catheter, so central line catheter insertion kits. So they looked at all of those sorts of things, ureteroscopes. But I know there's been another piece of work looking at the sort of highest impact. So things like bronchoscopes, laryngoscopes, intubation blades from laryngoscopes, gastroscopes, scissors, but then things like drapes, surgical gowns. So they've all been looked at. There are reusable options that have a lower environmental impact.
I did not realize the gravity of all of the things that were single use, especially, yes, in like not common like clinic areas, but also the extent of the hospital. So when looking at the speculum project, what did the project actually entail?
So the first thing was that we didn't have any reusable metal specula anymore. So the department used to have metal ones way back when, and they were all got rid of. So I had to apply for a grant. Welsh government had a climate emergency fund that I could bid to get some money to purchase some metal speculum. And I had to liaise with our infection control department and with our sterilisation department to get the logistics in place to try and get that to happen. And then we introduced them to clinic. But then actually one of the biggest things we had to do was sort of winning hearts and minds, both of staff and patients, because I think there were a lot of misconceptions about metal speculums, or metal instruments, really, that they were more uncomfortable, that they were infection control risk. But there's no evidence behind any of these things. And actually, when we've asked patients, asked patients after they'd been examined with them how they found them, and they said they were absolutely fine. And most people, once you explain to them the reason we were making the transition, were very supportive. And again, it was just making staff understand why we were making the change and supporting them to get used to using something different.
What was the biggest misconception you felt like you had to overcome?
I think it was about them being more uncomfortable. Really, I mean, metal speculums are a bit colder than the plastic ones, but actually, if you warm them under the tap, they're normally a bit better. But actually, I think it's a lot more about the technique of inserting the speculum than the type of speculum. And actually, they are a bit sturdier, I think, and make the examination a bit easier for the clinician.
Okay. Because I feel like one of the big comparisons is supposed to be like sterility. What did any of the literature review or evidence show about the actual sterility of plastic versus metal?
I mean, I spoke to our infection prevention control team, that our sterilization services are good enough for, sterile surgical techniques, And actually, we're putting them in the vagina, which is not a sterile environment anyway. I think that if proper sterilization processes are followed, then there is no risk of iatrogenic infection. That they are very thorough sterilization processes, because, we do use reusable instruments in, surgery where things do need to be sterile. So I think as long as they are properly sterilized or properly cleaned and sterilized, then the risk is absolutely minimal. Particularly if you're using them in a non-sterile site, and I think that's the thing, that a lot of these instruments that could be switched back to reusable are being used in non-sterile sites and non-sterile procedures anyway. So they don't need to be, you don't really need to worry about infection. Obviously, you just want them to be clean. Somebody I spoke to a while ago used the analogy of cutlery. We're all happy to go to a restaurant and use the cutlery that's been cleaned there, put it in our mouth, and we all prefer to use that than single-use plastic cutlery, because A, it doesn't work very well, and B, we all know it's a waste. So I think there's a lot of similarity between that and clean, sterile medical instruments, particularly being used in non-sterile sites.
Yes, I think that makes a lot of sense. I had not thought about that comparison, but I think I will definitely going forward. And I've had my fair share of plastic utensils break on me.
Yeah.
So with the project, what did you find? Like, what were the end results?
So we looked at our initial uptake of their use, and we found that initially, we found about half of our staff were using them most of the time and half of our staff weren't. And we looked into why that was, and partly was familiarity, partly was about availability. So we actually just bid for some more speculums to introduce those in to increase the uptake. But like I said, we asked patients of their feelings about it and they were happy. And then we did do an estimate of the carbon saving. So actually how we did that is I just used the carbon saving that has been evaluated in previous life cycle analyses, because I don't have the time or resources to do that, repeat that again. And I think if it's been done before and published, I don't necessarily need to do that. But what we found is just with the sort of 50% or so uptake, we'd saved about a ton and a half of carbon in the first year. And that will be year on year. We'll continue to make that saving. And hopefully that should get more up to like 2 tons. We can increase the uptake as we're hoping to. So, you know, there's a significant carbon saving. Cost wise, actually, once we've paid for the initial outlay of buying the reusable metal instruments, actually, it's fairly cost neutral or probably a cost saving, because the cost to us of sterilization is similar to the cost of buying a plastic speculum, and we probably save a bit of money on the incineration costs. But I found it quite difficult as a jobbing clinician to get accurate costs for that, but I think I can certainly say that it's at least cost neutral financially, if not a cost saving. There's no real impact on patient care, and that actually might work better because it's more sturdy, and there's a definite carbon saving associated with it.
So in terms of thinking about future applications, I know you said kind of getting staff to go 100%, but any other applications or any other projects or anything like that?
So we're trying to scale it to other areas. So I've been talking to other sexual health services in Wales where I work, but and I also know there are some other places in England and other parts of the UK that are adopting this sort of change. So it's about spreading that information and on a wider scale, but also within my organisation, I'm working hard to talk to other areas that are using single-use medical instruments and looking at actually whether they could look at making the change within their service as well.
So is there anything like listeners at home can do to further contribute to this project or stay informed or find further information?
I mean, I'm happy for people to contact me directly. I'm happy for people to contact me directly. Or, I mean, I would just encourage people to look at anything that they're using in their clinical practice that is single use, and just asking themselves, you know, actually, you know, it's the reduce, reuse, recycle mantra, isn't it? It's actually, do you need to use it in the first place? So certainly in the UK, there's a big push for what we're calling the gloves off campaign to try and discourage people from, you know, using non-sterile gloves when they're not needed. You know, obviously they are needed in some areas, but certainly since the COVID pandemic, they're being used probably more than they're needed. So there's, you know, it's looking at things like gloves and aprons and all of those things. Do you need to use them in the first place? And if you do need to use them, you know, can you reuse them? You know, do they need to be sterilized, or actually do they just need a good wipe down, you know, with an antiseptic wipe? And then I think if you can't get to those, and obviously it's difficult to recycle things, thinking about low carbon alternatives as well. So I know that there are some companies now that are making bioplastic vaginal speculums made out of sugarcane, which have got a much lower carbon footprint than your standard plastic. And certainly, you know, I know some areas use single-use metal medical instruments. You know, I know some areas that use like single-use scissors. It just seems completely, you know, a pair of scissors that get metal scissors that get used once and thrown away. It just seems a huge waste. So that would be my advice: is look at all the things that you use once and throw away, and think, you know, do I have to be doing it this way, or is there another way we could do this? Because you don't need to do the life cycle analysis to know that actually using something once and throwing it away is wasteful.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Rachel Drayton is the Clinical Director for the Department of Sexual Health in Cardiff and Vale University Health Board in the United Kingdom. Tune in next time for another enlightening episode of So Ill. This podcast is a collaborative production between the SIU School of Medicine and WSIU Public Broadcasting. You can find more episodes at wsiu.org.